Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio, right on the southwest side of Columbus. I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Thursday to you. How was church last night? My, we finished up our revival meetings down at the Bible Baptist Church in Chillicothe with just a great service, and God gave us just some great meetings down there with those folks. If you're anywhere near the Chillicothe area, I highly recommend Bible Baptist Church to you. Pastor Jeff Blakeman, his wife Lisa, and they're doing a wonderful job there. And you will be blessed and encouraged by joining in with that body of believers there, doing a wonderful job for the Lord there in Chillicothe. So it was a wonderful time. Had a good service, good reports here. Dr. Yoder brought a Bible study here at Bible Baptist Church, and I heard good reports from that, and that everyone received a blessing and encouragement from his message last night. And I hope you were blessed where you were, that you were in your place, and that you were a blessing to your church and to your pastor, and that, most importantly, God spoke to your heart, gave you what you needed right in the middle of the week. Now, I want to share something with you today that I think will be a blessing to you. It's Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Look with me, first of all, at verse 18, where the Bible says, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children." Notice that phrase, a friend of publicans and sinners. Webster defines a friend as a favored companion. And I sure thank God for true friends. That word friend has been somewhat cheapened in our day and age because, oh, look at all the friends I have on social media. Those aren't necessarily a true definition of friend. The Lord has blessed you with a friend, and a friend is different than an acquaintance. And I know it's one thing, listen, it's one thing to say you're somebody's friend. It's another thing for them to say you're their friend. In other words, if the president and well, I don't know if I come up with a better example, but if the president were to call me his friend, then he raises me to the level of the office of president. But if I presume to call him my friend, then I don't elevate him at all. I bring him down somewhat to my level. Do you understand? It's one thing for me to sing, "What a friend I have in Jesus." But it's quite another thing when Jesus says that he has a friend in me. There's a vast difference between the two. Now, there's several places in the Bible where God and Jesus referred to someone as their friends. The Bible says God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. We know that Abraham was called the friend of God. We know that Lazarus was called Jesus' friend. And so Jesus said, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." In fact, when Judas went to betray Jesus, he called him friend. And I want you to know what they accuse Jesus of here is true. He is the sinner's friend. And how did he show his friendship to us? Well, first of all, Jesus showed his friendship to us. We see it in his sacrifice. His sacrifice for us. He laid down his life for us. The Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Lay down his life. That means his sacrifice was voluntary. He said, "Nobody takes my life. I lay it down and I pick it up again." He laid down his life for you and for me. He gave himself for us. And several statements he made during his life and during his death bear that out. But it wasn't just voluntary. It was vicarious. The word vicarious means performed or suffered by one as a substitute for another. So he was our substitute. He laid down his life for his friends. In other words, he wasn't doing it for himself. He was doing it for others. The Bible says that the Lord laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And it was the just dying for the unjust. He was doing it on behalf of others. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My friend, Jesus Christ was dying in your place. Jesus Christ was dying in my place. It was vicarious. He was performed. He was suffering as a substitute for me and for you. It was voluntary, it was vicarious, it was also vicious. Oh, I know laying down your life seems pretty sanitary on the surface, but it doesn't compare, it doesn't begin to convey the depth of suffering that Jesus endured when he gave up his life for us on the cross. Think about the betrayal by Judas. Think about the desertion by his disciples. Think how he was beaten by the temple guards. Think how he was rejected by those people who he came to save. Think of the scourging. Think of the soldiers mocking him and placing that crown of thorns upon his head. Think about the beard being plucked from his face. Think about him being stripped naked. Think about the nails going into his hands and his feet. Think about him being absolutely marred beyond belief. Isaiah said, we would not have been able to tell that it was a human being. It was vicious. The most vicious death anyone could die. So he shows us that he loves us by his sacrifice. It was voluntary, it was vicarious, it was vicious, but it was also victorious. Oh, some may look at the death of Jesus on the cross and say, what a tragedy. But his death was not tragic. It's one of the most glorious days in the history of the world. For here Jesus say on the cross, it is finished. Everything that needed to be done for you and I to have our sin debt paid, for you and I to be able to call on the Lord and ask him to be our Savior, to receive the gift of eternal life, everything's finished. My friend, the righteous demands of God concerning atonement for sin was met. God was forever satisfied. And 3 days later, he proved it by raising his son from the dead. And now sin can be forgiven, and redeemed sinners can live forever. Oh, I see his friendship in his sacrifice, but I also see his friendship in his sharing. In his sharing. He shares his love with us over in John chapter 15, in verse number 14. He says, you are my friends if you do what I have commanded you, and henceforth I call you not servants, but for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. And just before that, he talks about his love, that you love one another. And so he loves us. And by the way, I see him sharing his love with us. We only love because he first loved us. Love is, that's why he died for us. God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And his love is something that we can never be separated from. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Love is God. God is love, 1 John 4, 8. You're not really going to love until you know God, because God is love. And that's why the Bible says, Proverbs 17, 17, a friend loveth at all times. So I see his friendship not only in his sacrifice, but in his sharing. And in his sharing, I see it in his love. I also see it in his life. He gave his life for us on the cross, but he also imparts his life to us day by day. That's seen in the changes he makes in every life he touches. He takes away the sinful and fleshly desires, and he replaces them with godly and good desires. He gives us the ability to live for him. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Whenever Jesus passed by, lives were forever changed. And the same is true in my life, in your life. So I see his friendship and his sharing by his life, by his love, and by the lessons he taught. He taught them how to love one another. He taught them how to treat one another as friends. He taught them about the truth of God. He taught them about his word. He taught them about the Holy Spirit. He taught them how to worship him. He taught them how to praise him. He taught them how to pray to him. He taught them how to fellowship with him. He taught them how to tell others about him. I'm so glad that he's my friend, and I see it in the lessons that he taught. So I see his friendship in his sacrifice. I see his friendship in his sharing, but also see his friendship in his salvation. His salvation. The Bible says we're chosen by him. The Bible says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. You should go and bring forth fruit. John 15, 16. All sinners are dead in our trespasses and sins. And so, but God calls, and by the way, God calls all of us to be saved. He will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But we're chosen. The Bible says we've been chosen him before the foundation of the world, simply because God knows those of us who are going to trust him and those who aren't. God knows who will respond in faith and who won't. But Jesus chose us to be his friend. I see it in his salvation. I see it in his salvation by him calling us. He calls us. He calls us not just to be saved, but he calls us to serve him. We are saved. Notice the chosen here is to go and bring forth fruit. We are called to serve. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, Ephesians 2:10. When a true friend who knows us as intimately as Jesus does, and yet he still chooses to have close contact with us. Not only that, he chooses us to serve him for his glory and for his honor. But also see his friendship in salvation by being comforted by him. He promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He promises that he will receive, that he will hear our prayers and will receive answers to prayer. That's a great comfort. We've been reconciled to God, our Father, through Jesus Christ. And he says, come and let your requests be made known unto God. We don't travel through this world without a helper. We don't travel through the world without a friend. One of the all-time greats in baseball was Babe Ruth. He had a record of 714 home runs for years until Hank Aaron broke it, and then, of course, later broken by Barry Bonds, but that's controversial. But Babe, as he was known, was an idol of sports fans. But in time, age took its toll, and his popularity began to wane. Finally, the Yankees traded him to the Braves, Boston Braves at that time. In one of his last games in Cincinnati, Babe Ruth began to falter. He struck out and made several misplays that allowed the Reds to score 5 runs in one inning. As the Babe walked toward the dugout, chin down and dejected, there rose from the stands an enormous storm of boos and catcalls. Some fans actually shook their fist. But then a wonderful thing happened. A little boy jumped over the railing, and with tears streaming down his cheeks, he ran to the great athlete. Unashamed, he flung his arms around Babe's legs and held on tightly. Babe Ruth scooped him up, hugged him, set him down again, patted him gently on the head. He took his hand, and the two of them walked off the field together. Once I was like Babe Ruth. I had nothing to offer. I was used up and wasted by sin. But someone named Jesus jumped across the railing of glory, came to this world, lived the perfect life, shed his blood on Calvary, rose from the dead, all for me. Then the day came where he came to where I was. He took my hand in his hand and he saved me by his grace. And now we're walking across the field of life together, headed toward the dugout. He isn't ashamed of me. He's not disappointed in me. He just loves me and walks with me. That's what I call a friend. Do you know him today? Is he your friend today? Can he call you his friend? All you do is you start by accepting him as your Savior, realizing his friendship is seen in the salvation he offers for us. His friendship is seen in his sharing of his love and his life and his lessons with us. But I also see his love in his sacrifice. It was voluntary, it was vicarious, it was vicious, but it was victorious. What a friend we have in Jesus. He is the sinner's friend. Well, what a Savior. What a Savior. And I praise his name today. Thank you. I hope you know him as your friend. I hope you know him as your Savior. And he can call you his friend because you're willing to do whatsoever he asks you. Have a great Thursday, everybody. Thanks for listening to Words to Encourage Radio. And until tomorrow, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with us. sunny smile.